Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to start a series called Blessed Are the Peacemakers and what we need in our lives to become peacemakers instead of warriors. Today is all about taking the most challenging step of the journey. Pastor Anita charged me, and I feel very lucky that I get to talk about that step. And what is the most difficult step of the journey? The first step. So let's start the journey together. There's an old pastor who's traveling on his vacation, and he's flying on a plane by himself, and the pilot comes on board and says, "Folks, I'm sorry, we are not going to be able to offer beverage service today. We're expected to encounter in turbulence." And moments later, they hit an air pocket, and that plane really begins to bounce, and everybody starts to get a little nervous, but, you know, he knows God is on his side. Well, as they continue further, he said, "Folks, we are not going to be able to turn off the seatbelt sign for this entire flight. You're going to have to stay seated the whole time. Restrooms are not available." Then people started to get a little more nervous, and they started to look around thinking, uh-oh. And the plane began to shake even more violently. And everybody on board got nervous. And the pastor was even starting to get nervous. And as he looked across the aisle, there was a little girl flying by herself reading her book and without a care in the world. She wasn't nervous. As a matter of fact, the more it bounced, she used those bounces to pull a book out of the front seat and read something different. The flight continued, bouncing away, and eventually it lands. And everybody shaking is getting off the plane. And the pastor had to find out. He walked up to the little girl and said, "I've got to ask, why weren't you scared as the plane began to bounce around?" And the child replied, "Because the pilot's my dad. He's just taking me home." What kind of storms are you going through right now? Physical? Mental? Problems in your relationship? Money could be a problem? Or maybe it's the thought of starting a brand new journey. Today's gospel reminds us that even back in the Bible, followers of Jesus, they faced storms of their own. Here are 72 followers. Now, some interpretations of the Bible say 70, whatever. Approximately 70 of Jesus' followers being sent out ahead of him and told to spread the word. And listen to the instructions that Jesus gives them. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if the person of peace is there, your peace will rest on that person. But if it's not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide. Think about that. What if your boss said to you, "Hey, listen, I need you to go on a business trip, but you're not going to take any luggage. And you're not going to take any money. And you're not going to take any new clothes to wear. And by the way, on the business trip, you're not going to talk to anyone until you get there. And you may or may not be traveling with a partner that you don't really get along with. And finally, when you get there, just sleep wherever they put you and eat whatever they put in front of you, even if you don't like it." How many people would go to their boss, "Yeah, I'm not doing that"? Some of us might go, "I got a mortgage, I'll do it." But most of us would think that our boss had lost their mind. Now, for these disciples, let's imagine the most challenging part of their journey. It's the unknown. When we don't know what's going to happen, anxiety begins to fill that void. And we imagine all the things that could go wrong instead of all the things that may go right. Jesus tries to ease their fears by giving them instructions, though. He says, whenever you enter a town and the people are welcoming to you, and eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near you." But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off in protest of you." He's meeting with his disciples. He's giving them their instructions for their business trip. He's trying to warn them of what's going to happen. And he wants them to be prepared for what's headed their way. Have you ever had a feeling or a premonition before something happened to you What if it just wasn't a fluke? What if it was Jesus or the Holy Spirit trying to light your path, to help guide the way? The trick is knowing you have to listen for it. Several years ago, I found out my grandfather had been diagnosed with liver cancer. Gramps was given 6 months to live. We were really close, Gramps and I. When my dad left at age 13, it was Gramps who finished the job of teaching me what it was like to be a man. There's a song by Riley Green called "I Wish Grandpa's Never Died." That song speaks to me and probably to a few of you too. Now, if you're lucky enough to have a grandpa, call him today. Give him thanks. And if you are a grandpa, hug those grandbabies a little harder the next time you see him. Anyway, I found out my grandfather had 6 months to live. Now, we were scheduled to drive back to Iowa in 3 months, so I knew I'd get to at least see him one more time. But still, I said a prayer. "Dear Lord, let me see Gramps one more time." I said it at work, quietly, to myself. About an hour later, one of the most religious men I've known in my life, John Clark, who was my morning anchor, came to me and said, "Hey, Don, are you taking any trips back to visit your family soon?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going in a few months." "Why?" He said, "Well, the Lord, for some reason, put it on my heart. You need to go as soon as you can." I don't know what's going on. For some reason, that's just on my heart today, and I'm passing it along. John didn't know what was happening. He didn't know what I was going through. The Holy Spirit, though, was speaking through him. He listened and passed the message along. I listened for that message. And a month later, I was actually able to fly home and visit with Gramps. It was amazing. By the way, the day that we headed back 3 months later, that was the day Gramps passed away. He only made it 3 months. And if I hadn't been willing to listen for the Spirit, I would have missed out on the last couple of hands of cribbage and a hug from one of my favorite people on the planet. Jesus tells his friends to listen to what will happen and what they need to do to be prepared. He does this throughout the Bible. John 14, verse 26, he says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." And then he reminds them, "Don't worry. Do not be anxious." Same chapter, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Wouldn't it be nice not to worry all the time? Not be afraid, no matter what journey you're on or what journey you're beginning? Friends, there is a peace that passes all understanding, and it is available to you today, right now. You just have to be willing to listen and ask for it. And I know it can be hard to listen in a noisy world, but what is peace? What do we define it as? There was once a king who offered a prize to an artist in his kingdom who could create the perfect picture of peace. Many artists tried, and the king looked at all their pictures. And after a lot of deliberation, the king was down to two pictures. He had to choose between them. One picture was a calm lake, and the lake was a perfect mirror for the mountains that towered around it. Overhead, there were fluffy white clouds. They floated in a blue sky, and everyone who saw this picture went, "That's the picture of peace." But when the king looked closely, he saw a second picture. It also showed mountains, rugged and bare. Above them, though, the sky was angry. There was rain and lightning. There was a waterfall that tumbled down the side of the mountain. The entire picture did not appear to be peaceful at all, until he looked and saw, next to the waterfall, a tiny bush growing in a rock, and inside that bush, a mother bird had built a nest. And there, in that midst of the angry water and the thunder in the sky, sat a mama bird on her nest. She had perfect peace. The king chose the second picture because he said, "Peace is not only in a place without noise, trouble, or hard work. Peace is in the midst of things as they are, when you have calm in your heart." And Jesus Christ offers all of us that peace today in a very troubled world. And he does it throughout the Bible. Later in John chapter 16, Jesus says, I have said to you so that you may have peace. In the world, you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world. To be clear, Jesus isn't offering to take whatever problem you have worried about and make it go away. But he's offering to give you peace because of the example he set. Really, how important is what you're worrying about anyway? You know, in a recent study, researchers at Penn State University had participants write down their specific worries for 10 days. And whenever they noticed they were worrying, four times a day, they were prompted by a text message to record any worries they've had in the past 2 hours. That way, as many worries per day were captured. Now, study participants then reviewed their list of worries every evening over the next 30 days to see if any of those worries came true. And the researchers focused on concerns that could be tested in the 30-day period. For example, I'll fail my math test tomorrow would be testable, whereas I may get cancer sometime in my life. Can't really test that. And the average person reported 3 to 4 actual worries that were testable each day. And the result? 91% of those worries were false alarms. And of the remaining 9%, the worries that did come true, the outcome was much better than expected over a third of the time. For about 1 in 4 participants, exactly 0 of their worries manifested themselves in a day. 91% of worries were false alarms. Yet worrying can take its toll on us even when we face facts. And today, friends, I am pleading with each and every one of you to give whatever you're worried about right now at this moment to God. Jesus did and set the example for us. Jesus was well read on the Old Testament, the Torah. Remember in the temple when he was 12, his parents figured out he was missing after like a day and they went looking for him. And in Luke chapter 2, 45 to 47, it says, after 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple court sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Even as a child, Jesus was well-read and got what was going on. Because he was so well-read, Jesus also knew what was coming for him. A terrible death. And even he turned his worries over to God. In Matthew 26, and going a little further, Jesus fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He set an example that we could all follow. We all find ourselves in the valley of life at times, but if you're never in a valley, you never get to see the mountaintop. Maybe you're struggling with money. Everything seems to cost more these days. God can help ease your worries. Maybe you're struggling with addiction. You just can't beat whatever you're addicted to. None of us have that power, but with God's help, you can. And with his strength, you can go through that battle. Maybe you're lonely and you just want to find the right person in life. The Reverend Billy Graham told a story of a woman who struggled for years without finding a husband. She was walking in the mountains of North Carolina when she fell to her knees and said, "Dear Lord, please, whatever you can do, bring me a partner to go through life with me." And just then, an owl went, "Hoo, hoo." And the woman replied, "Anybody, Lord, anybody." Maybe God is calling you to take a journey you're not sure you're ready for, to become that peacemaker. Whatever your challenges are, God will walk with you. He'll walk beside you and he'll send the Holy Spirit to help you find peace. There's an old gospel song, one of my favorites, that says, "He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. And he never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time." Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, "Just give in. Hold on. Our Lord will show up. And he will take you through the fire again." Friends, give your worries to God right now, today. Matthew 26:5, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body or what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you by worrying can add a single moment to your life? Worrying just steals those moments away. And for those of you who ask and believe, the peace of God is available to guard your heart right here, right now. Think about it. Our amazing God created an entire universe. He certainly can give someone who believes in him just a little bit of peace. It really isn't that big of a problem for our amazing Father, who's piloting the plane, and our journey to becoming a peacemaker that starts today, hopefully, with bringing just a little peace to your lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.